Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Living Your Life by Design, a conversation of self, health, and wealth, with the sole purpose of advancing and enhancing the lives of women. And now, your host, certified career consultant, life coach, and author, Kathy Holloway Hill.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our show. I'm Kathy Holloway Hill. And you are listening to Living by Design. Now, our co-host, Tony, will be joining us here in just a few minutes. Tony, are you there?
Oh, yeah, I'm here. I'm right here.
How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing real good. Looking forward to today's show and tonight's topic.
Absolutely. And Tony and I want to first start out and give our listeners a great big thank you for all your outpouring of love and support for our debut show last week. And it means a great deal to us that you took the time to stop by and listen to our show and offer so many words of encouragement. And I received so many email notes. And I just really want to thank you for that, because this show and our efforts are for you. And your feedback and enthusiasm is why we're here. It's all about you, our listeners.
Absolutely. Feel like exactly the same way. If it weren't for the listeners, there wouldn't be a reason to do the show. And the most appealing thing to say is that it's always good when you can give back. It's like paying forward, but giving back. And it's a special thing to do, and that's what the show is all about.
That is so true. So please keep those emails coming. And again, our email address is Kathy@cHollowayHill.com. So keep those thoughts, comments, ideas, and experiences coming. Now, I am very excited about our topic today, Tony, and we're going to be bringing our guest on shortly. But first, I just want to share a little bit about a segment that I heard the other day that is actually very applicable for not only this topic today, but just to enhance our lives in general. And it keeps within the theme of living your life by your own design instead of just accepting whatever comes along. And the segment that I heard was on Joel Osteen's show. And for those of you who don't know who Joel Osteen is, he's a mega TV evangelist and a best-selling author and an outstanding motivational spiritual speaker. And Joel was talking about broadening your horizons. And you've seen that segment, right, Tony?
Oh, absolutely. As a matter of fact, Joel Osteen is one of the most powerful young evangelists, and I can say young. I mean, when you talk about some of the other evangelists that have been out there, a lot of folks love his energy. He speaks the word, but he speaks it in such a way that people are able to relate to it, and that's really about what the word is about, is making sure that everybody gets the message, and he tells some fabulous stories.
Absolutely. And the point I wanted to make is that topic, broadening your horizons. It was so interesting, some of the points that he made, because I not only saw myself in what he said, but I realized that many of us get stuck in ruts and routines that we're just not willing to move away from, and sometimes this can really stagnate us. I mean, you've heard it said that if you continue to do the same things over and over, you'll continue to get the same result.
Oh, absolutely.
And Albert Einstein even defined it as insanity to continually do the same thing over and over and expect a different result. So if we make it a point to broaden our lives and develop new friendships and new interests, new routines, we will grow and add a whole new dimension to our lives. And I truly believe that.
Yeah, I think one of the things that we always need to remember is our life continues with the growth that we go through, and you have to live your life to grow. And if you're not living your life with growth in mind, then you were mentioning about being stagnant. That's exactly what happens. A lot of people think that they can just sit back, relax, and settle into their lives, But they look up and they think they're comfortable, and they realize their life is boring, they're not doing anything new, and their energy levels are so low simply because of the fact they're not doing anything new. And so that's exactly what that's all about.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. He even mentioned something as simple as just driving a different path to work or trying a different food choice. And I know I'm very strict about my food choices. That would be a little bit of a stress for me. But, I mean, just something that simple to just break out of your rut, just break out of your normal comfort zone. The point is to just expose ourselves to different ways of being and doing.
Right.
By developing new habits and new friendships. And he even mentioned a story about his sister when she met her husband in college. And initially, she just didn't want to go out with him because she just flat out wasn't interested. She didn't think he was the right person for her, and she resisted it. And thank goodness the guy was very persistent, and eventually she agreed to just go out on a date with him. And they ended up getting married, and they've been married for 24 years and have 4 children.
Oh, wow, that's a great story.
Yeah, and she never would have known that if she hadn't have given the guy a chance. And then when she went out with him on that first date, she realized that he was a really nice guy, and he had a lot of the characteristics that she was looking for in a partner. So you just never know.
Right.
And I know, Tony, recently you had an opportunity to interview both Barack and Michelle Obama, and actually Michelle had a similar experience because she had mentioned in your interview when you and I talked about it that initially she didn't want Barack to run for the presidency.
No, she really didn't. As a matter of fact, she was one of the biggest opponents to it and had an attitude about it and said, can't you be a singer, a performer? I'd rather you do any of those kinds of things beside that.
Yeah, because she was in her comfort zone and she wanted to feel safe in her little world, and she really just did not want to branch out to something that might be bigger and greater than they were. And that's totally understandable because fear can really, really hold us back from moving beyond what we know is our normal world.
Yeah, if you don't learn how to step past fear or through fear, you're not able to grow. We talked about growing earlier, and that's absolutely the truth.
Right, right. As a matter of fact, I have a little bit of that video clip because I was fortunate enough to be able to call into your show that day and ask her a question that she answered exactly like that. So I'm going to see if I can play this little clip for our listeners to give them a insight perspective as to how she answered that question, which I thought was very good, very well done.
Hi, I'm Kathy, and I'd like to know, Michelle, from your perspective as the wife of a presidential candidate, what do you see as your biggest challenge and obstacle to overcome and or deal with?
You know, I think that fear and the fear of change is sort of the big thing that keeps us from moving forward as a nation. I think that part of what we have to realize in this country is that there is more that unites us. I mean, we've had the opportunity to travel all around this country, to go into communities of all races, of all ethnicities, and people are open and they're kind, and we share the same values in this country, and folks are all striving for the same thing. It's just that our politics doesn't reflect the reality that we're closer to one another than not, because some people can politically profit off of the division. But I think that the challenge for us as a nation is that we have to put aside those old wounds, we have to set aside those old assumptions, and know that in our hearts that this country can change. But we have to do it step by step, and we have to be ready to change as individuals first. But I see that happening over the course of this year, and it does give me hope.
And she is absolutely right. Everything she said is oh so true. We have got to move beyond our fears.
We really do, and I'm excited about what this country's going into and coming to, because that's what growth is all about. Growth is about being able to face change and being able to walk through it, being able to walk through the fears of change. I mean, once you're able to do that, that's where growth lies. It lies on the other side of the fear. And if you can just do that as an individual, if we can do it, and I love what she said, because speaking with her in other parts of the interview that we may be able to hear later on at some time, the other parts of the interview that were so fantastic was the fact that she realized this wasn't about her. It wasn't about Barack. It was about the country,
right,
and what the country needed to do.
And them having an opportunity to make history.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so, and you're right, it was a fantastic interview, and I wish we had more time to share the entire interview with our listeners because it was so fabulous. But we do have an action-packed show today, so we need to move on. And moving on, we want to bring on our guest, Miss Marla Martinson. And before I bring Marla on, I'm just going to kind of give you a little bit about her background. The topic today is finding your soulmate. And I know that is a very, very, very important topic for so many people because everybody wants to find their soulmate. We all want to connect with that one person that just completes us. Now, Marla lives in Beverly Hills, California, and she has done a lot of television commercials, print modeling, acting, and just a host of articles and publications. She has a book entitled Excuse Me, Your Soulmate is Waiting, and she'll talk more about that to us when she comes on here. Now, she's also been in the professional world of matchmaking since 2001, and she has been very instrumental in countless individuals finding their soulmate. And she was telling me the other day when we talked, she's such a great friend, and she was saying that she's been responsible for so many marriages as a result of her work. And she travels the world, and she found her soulmate, and they were married in his hometown of Mexico City, I think it was, back in 2002. So I am going to go ahead and bring Marla on. Hello, Marla. Are you there?
I'm here, Kathy. Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm great. Hi, Tony.
Hi there, Marla. How are you?
Excellent. Excellent. I'm so excited to be with you, too.
Yes, this is going to be a very exciting show today because there are so many people that I know are going to have questions, and I'm hoping we're going to have an opportunity to get as many questions in as we possibly can today, but just to kind of start out, Marla, I am going to ask you a question. I know you have been asked this question so many times, but what actually is a soulmate, and do we have more than just one?
Mm-hmm. You're right. I do get asked that a lot. After I wrote, I didn't put it in the book, so it's going to be in the second one.
Oh,
but people want to know, you know, well, what is a soulmate? And a soulmate is really just somebody that you resonate with, someone that... personally, I think we have many soulmates. I mean, and it doesn't have to just be a romantic person. However, that's what I'm talking about in my book is how to find your romantic soulmate. But a friend could be a soulmate, a pet, someone that comes into your life to teach you something. Doesn't necessarily mean that the person has to be with you your whole lifetime. And I think a soulmate can challenge you too, because some people think, well, I'm going to meet my soulmate and everything's going to be perfect and we're going to think alike and act alike and we're going to do everything the same. That's my soulmate. But not necessarily. I think a soulmate will push your buttons and help you grow and see some things in yourself that maybe needs improving, as you know, it will challenge you and help you along the way.
Right. I absolutely agree. And you said to me the other day that you had found your soulmate, and I don't know how long you've been looking, but how did that work? How did that work out for you? I mean, were you one of your own clients, or did it just kind of happen?
It was really magical, too, the way it happened, because I had been divorced. I'd been married before. Then I was had lived in L.A. before I moved to Chicago. So I was single for 5 years in Chicago. I was dating all over town, felt like Carrie from Sex and the City, you know, and just did not find the right guys. The guys would end up to be married or had girlfriends or not available or the wrong guy. And I said, what is going on here? This is just not good. And I ended up having to move back to California because my father was sick. He had terminally ill cancer. So I said, Dad, I'm going to go to Chicago, pack up my things, and I'll come right back. By the time I got back, just 1 week later, he passed away 3 days later.
Oh.
So I said, okay, well, that was in Orange County. So I said, I'm going to move back up to L.A., to Hollywood, start acting again. So I got myself a little place. And one night, I needed to go to the pharmacy, and I walked up Sunset Boulevard to the Rite Aid, and I went in, and I said, well, on the way back through, I'll go stop in the vitamin section. And there was this little Polish lady from New York standing in the vitamin section, but she lived in Hollywood. And we started talking. Her name is Sabrina. And we sat there for an hour talking. We exchanged phone numbers. She just lived 7 blocks from me. She managed an apartment building. We started hanging out together, going to the theater and comedy shows. And became the best of friends, and she had, there was a guy that lived in her building that she managed that she kept bragging about and talking about, and I said, well, maybe I should meet this guy. And so she took me to meet him, and the minute we saw each other, we've been together ever since.
Wow.
Oh, that's
and
nice.
I felt like it was my dad. I was so heartbroken from my father's death. We were very close, and I just felt like, gee, I was looking for 5 years dating disasters and married in a bad marriage before that, and then when and if it wasn't for my father's death, I would not have moved back to L.A. and met my husband. So it was kind of bittersweet.
Everything happens for a reason, even though it may have been a sad occasion, but God directs us in certain paths for a reason.
Exactly. And today, and guess what? Today, May 21st is 7 years ago today is the day we met.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And you're talking
always,
to us?
We always celebrate that day, too, as our anniversary, because we did. It wasn't like, we met and then didn't know, because we were really together ever since the day we met. So that's, like, more important than the wedding anniversary to us.
Well, Marla, let me ask you this, because I'm really curious. I mean, the story you just told was a magical moment.
Yeah.
And when we think of soulmates, that's the impression everyone has within themselves. It has to be this magical moment, but it's not always that way, is it?
No, and I love that story you were saying about Joel Osteen's sister. Didn't want to even go out with the guy, and then met. You know, he was persistent, and they ended up getting married. So I always tell my clients, look, you know, be a little more open-minded. People are sometimes quick to say no to someone's description or for a reason. And of course, we all have our types, and we kind of know what we want. But sometimes you want to be open to maybe a different type of person. Don't be so picky on someone's height or profession or receding hairline or eye color, because people can get real picky out here. So I tell them, come on, be open, because you don't know what package your soulmate's going to come in. And you
that's
know,
exactly
I mean,
what I was saying earlier when I was opening the show, Marla, about people trying to step outside their comfort zone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because I do have clients who will be so picky, even not to the eye color. And I'm like, I don't care what, as long as the man has two eyes, I'm fine. I don't care what color they are or, you know, anything. So you just you want to have find quality in someone.
Should there be a guideline of some sort when you're setting yourself or putting together, for lack of a better term, that list that you of those things? Or should you just say, I'm going to throw the list away that I've had over these years, or should I refine it? How do you go about that process? Because so many people do have that list. They have that one thing. This is what I will or I won't accept. This is what I will or won't do, that kind of thing. And then they never run into the individual that meets everything on the checklist.
I know. And I have certain men who it's just like, I'm sorry, I won't date anybody but a blonde. Or I'm sorry, you know, and I'm like, well, then you're going to wait a little longer, because then we've got to go for the age range that you're looking for a lot of other things, too. I think there are certain things that's very important that you might want to stick to. Let's say you're Jewish and you want a Jewish partner because that's very important to you. You don't want to throw that away. Or I love animals. If the man was a hunter, that would not work for me. I do not even want to date with him. So, I mean, there's going to be certain things. Oh, let's say you love to travel and then somebody wants you to meet someone who's never been out of the country and they're afraid to fly. Yeah. Well, that's probably not going to work either. So, of course, you're going to have a basic list of your, you just can't, you know, give up those things. But then I think if people should loosen up on some other things and just, look, you're going to meet somebody for coffee or a dinner or a phone conversation, what's that going to hurt? Maybe they'll know somebody. If they're not right for you, maybe their best friend is or somebody they work with. So it's kind of networking as well.
And that is so true, because when you're talking about selecting someone as your soulmate to spend the rest of your life with, I'm telling you, those superficial things will fall by the wayside.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm a firm believer in that, because I've been there, done that. I mean, I met my ex-husband. He was a great person, a great person. If he's listening in, I hope he heard me say that. He was a great person. He was just not the right person for me, because the things that I was looking at were very superficial.
Right.
And you've got to go beyond that superficial image to look beyond the things that will last for a lifetime.
Yeah, and you have to think if some of the women want a multimillionaire, and I say, yeah, but what if you have to also think, if this person lost all their money, What if they got in a car wreck and they couldn't walk?
Exactly.
Are you going to stick by them? Is this someone that you is going to be your partner in good times and bad, or you just want to stick around for the fun stuff?
That's right. And what if that person has $1 million, but you hardly ever see them because they're never at home?
Right. Yeah. They're
at work.
Yeah.
Marla, let me ask, what's one of the biggest challenges that you face or you run into when you're doing your matchmaking? What are the things that people, one of the most common denominators that you run into that everybody has the same problem or seems to have the same problem?
As far as the matching the men, it's because this service, the service I work for, it's a specialized service where the men are upscale financially and the women are all very beautiful and in shape and all that. So this is a specialized Beverly Hills service. So the frustrating thing with the men is they all think a woman over a certain age is just, you know, we're deflated like a balloon and we have no more energy and we go to bed at 7 o'clock. You know, they're like, oh, and they just couldn't keep up with me, and just trying to push them a little higher, closer to their age because they want so much younger.
Well, Marla, they just need to meet more women like you and I.
Yeah, exactly. Full of energy.
That's right.
And just that thing, too, is being a little more open on certain physical aspects. That's the most challenging. As far as women are concerned, the height, that is the most frustrating. And I've looked this up. The average American male is 5'9", and the average American female is 5'4". But these, even if the most petite little gals come in 5'1", 5'2", they want men over 6 feet. And I'm like, no, but look, this is, you know, he's still half a foot taller than you. Or come on, be open. This is such a wonderful guy. Because we get a lot of guys come in. They're 5'7", 5'8", 5'9", and they're wonderful. And the girls sometimes are real picky on that. And they, well, I like to wear heels.
Well, I tell you, Marla, here's a line that you can give those clients like that. You can
okay.
always say that he can stand on his wallet. He's a lot taller.
Yeah, I like that. that's a great
I
one.
Heard that, Tony. That's true.
Yeah, I've heard that one. I love it. Thanks for reminding me. That's what I'm going to use now.
Now,
well,
go
ahead, sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, well, my husband's 5'9", and in heels, I like it because I'm right there. It's easy, a lot easier to kiss. I just grab him. I don't have to
Aww.
Stand on a chair.
Oh, that's cute. Well, I want to kind of dig a little bit further into the actual dating because I understand how your service works. You're a professional matchmaker.
Mm-hmm.
How does your service differ from, like, some of the internet dating sites like Match.com? And
mm-hmm.
I assume that you're a go-between.
Where right.
Match.com and the eHarmonies, they just kind of jump out there and they look for all the superficial qualities, and that's why they probably don't end up working out.
Yeah, the online services, it's a lot of work for the person. I mean, I do know people who are in relationships and gotten married from it. It can be really great, but it's a lot of work because you've got to be on there picking people, writing to people, all that. The kind of service I work for is great for busy professionals, people who don't have time to do that. Maybe they own a few companies or whatever, and they just tell me, Marla, this is the kind of lady I'm looking for, or this is the kind of man I'm looking for, and then I do the rest. I look, and then all I do is call them and tell them about each other and give the gentleman her phone number, and they take it from there and go on the date. So really all they have to do is the man just calls and makes the date, and then they go and see if there's any chemistry.
Okay.
So that's
now,
all the work they have to do, which is great.
Now, I know a lot of our listeners are probably chomping at the bit for me to ask this question. Your service sounds great, and it sounds much better than the online dating service. How expensive is it to have someone like you to screen the people and find someone for them?
Well, this service is in the multiple thousands. It just depends on, and it's the men are our paying clients, and it just depends on what he has to offer, how picky he is, how long he wants to work with us. So there's different prices. They sit down
okay.
with the president of the company. But that's why I wrote the book, because I can't match everybody, and I wanted to everybody to be able to read my tips, my stories. You know, they can do it on their own with the book, because I thought there were so many people that I would love to help that I can't out here, so that's why I did it.
Well, and I love the title, Excuse Me, Your Soulmate is Waiting, because it's just that simple. It's one of those attitudes where we sometimes get in our own way, and if we don't allow ourselves to get out of the way, we probably will never run into or meet or talk to, or we
mm-hmm.
may have already done that, and we've allowed ourselves to get in the way and watch the person walk away from us.
Mm-hmm. Right, correct, yeah. And my book is in the Excuse Me series that Hampton Roads did. That's why it's Excuse Me. It's, Lynn Grabhorn had written a book called Excuse Me, Your Life is Waiting, mm-hmm. which is a New York Times bestseller. And Lynn passed away a few years ago, and so Hampton Roads owns the book now, and it's been still a bestseller, so they decided to do an Excuse Me series, which teaches her techniques on how to metaphysically pull anything that you want into your life as well.
Oh, that's fabulous.
Yeah,
that's
so fabulous. I use that combination of the metaphysics, spirituality, and the practical dating tips. So with that combination is really what I think is different about the book.
That's fabulous. Now, Marla and Tony, I'm going to go to the phone lines here because we have quite a few lines kind of lit up like Times Square in New York at Christmas time. So I'm going to pull in... Call area code 270. You're on the line. Hello? Area code 270.
I'm just listening. I don't have anything to say. I was just listening.
Oh, okay. All right. No problem at all.
And we may want to remind everyone that if they would like to call, they can do so. And it's 646-478-3060. That's 646-478-3060, and they can go ahead and call, or they can log on and listen to the show also.
Absolutely. Thank you for that, Tony. And I was trying to bring another caller on the line here. It looks like my switchboard kind of froze up on me. But at any rate, while I'm trying to do that, Marla, we're just going to move right on. Now, as far as dating and some tips on some of the things that women do, typically it's women, unfortunately, we kind of trip ourselves up when we go out on dates.
Yeah.
When we do find someone that, you know, we're interested in going out on a date,
mm-hmm.
when should a woman actually reveal to her dating partner what her desires are or what she's looking for? Should she say on the first date, second date, or any of the dates up front what she's looking for in a relationship? Because most women make their desires known up front as soon as possible.
I know, and some of the guys are running for the hills.
Absolutely.
I'll bet Tony could tell me that I'm right on this one. When if a woman brings up having kids on the first date, he's out of there.
Well, it's if the question is, how many kids do you have? And the answer is, I have several. In most cases, it's okay, well, let's go ahead and finish up this drink or this coffee, and I'll talk to you later.
Yeah, or, you know, do you want to have kids? It's like, you know, you don't even know if you want a second date with that person yet, whether
right.
to father
Absolutely.
Those children. So I would say, yeah, women bring that up too quickly. Women that are, their clocks are ticking, and they'll bring up this child thing. The first date, I really believe, is just to keep it light, get to know the person a little bit, and see if you even want a second date. Then, you know, when you see each other a little more, you can kind of delve into some more things. But if you get too heavy, it gets to be a turnoff. And don't talk about politics, religion, you know, that your biological clock is ticking. It's not also a time to bring up in the past that maybe you were raped as a child or abused, or you have credit card problems, or you can't pay your rent. I mean, I hear this all the time, that women are bringing up all their problems. They just, especially if there's some alcohol involved, you have a couple glasses of wine, and then the guts are spilled, you know, and it's just, you know, you can't take that back. And and also good listening skills. I'm always hearing from both parties. It's sometimes funny because I'll get feedback from a couple that went on a date, and they'll both say about each other that they felt the other was talking too much about themselves.
Yeah.
So, yeah, listening skills, and maybe just talk about the latest trip you took, some interests, you know, maybe you like to salsa dance, some basic interesting things. You want to have fun, but I would say don't get too heavy.
Right.
Should there be a time frame or a timeline? You said don't get too heavy. In most cases, very light conversation doesn't last very long. And so should you give yourself, okay, we'll meet for lunch, or we'll meet for drinks, or we'll just do something very quick and 15, 20, 30 minutes or so, or should you see how it goes and then set another date, or just let it carry out throughout that day?
if you want to see each other again, that's great. I mean, if I think about when you go out with your friends, you know, your girlfriend or your, you know, coworkers or whatever, you don't get into all this heavy stuff too, and you have plenty of stuff to talk about and laugh and
that's a good point.
Yeah, I think you can, and you'll know. I mean, it depends where you meet. If you've met online or somebody's told you know about them, you know the basics. I mean, they'll say, do they want to have kids, this and that. And I mean, you can talk in general conversation. I'm just saying that you don't need to delve so deep into problems and desperation and things that you've got to have and all that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Because you want people to think, oh, wow, what a fun person, and leave them wanting
mm-hmm.
more, not
mm-hmm.
knowing the whole story on the first, you know, you want to say, oh, gosh, I can't wait to see this person again. This is so fun.
Yeah.
She's so upbeat, so positive.
Right.
Yeah.
Now,
I know. Go ahead,
Tony. Kathy. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Tony.
Well, the other thing I would, the men are for Mars, women are for Venus or whatever. Mm-hmm. We have a different way of thinking.
Yeah.
And that's been proven. All the scientists know that.
Yeah.
The challenge from a man's perspective, when you are sitting there and you are listening and you want to have a conversation, but what should a man do? Because some women want men to take control of the communication, and it shows some kind of leadership qualities. That's what you hear sometimes. Well, I want you to lead things, because, and then they're going back and forth who should be the leader, and a man wants to feel like a man. Do you ever run into those kinds of conflicts?
Yeah, ladies tell me, like, if a guy calls her up for the date and then he says, well, where do you want to go? Or do you have any ideas? If the man doesn't have a plan, it turns the lady off. Because here he is asking her out. He's going to be the one to pay. She doesn't know what his budget is, what he wants to spend, what he wants to do. So she doesn't want to say where to go. It's wonderful if the man has picked out a restaurant or picked out, or maybe he'll say, look, here's three places I was thinking. Do you have a favorite out of these? Or, the ladies do like the man to take the lead. It doesn't mean they want him to take the whole lead in the whole conversation, but just in general, take the lead of the date. Be a gentleman. Be the man. And, and I know that men, women, John Gray, you know, the writer of Mars and Venus, he actually says women actually exhaust men by talking, because women women talk a lot more than men do.
Yes, I will agree with that. I will agree with that. That is the truth. So our male listeners out there, they're nodding their heads. They absolutely.
Yeah.
Sometimes we
yeah.
like to keep it very simple and
mm-hmm.
four words in a sentence, and the conversation is pretty much done.
Yeah. That's right. That's why there's dates that you do something are a lot of fun, too. You know, there's dates if you go to a basketball game or go rollerblading or things that, you know, if you have tickets to something, that's always a fun date as well. You don't have to just sit there across from each other worried about what you're going to say the whole evening.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know it's probably kind of hard to even make the determination. I guess that's probably something that you would have to just hang around and see, because a lot of times people, do you see this a lot of times? Well, you're a professional matchmaker and you're kind of a go-between, so you may not see it much, but in my experience, a lot of the people that I talk to, my clients and friends, a lot of people misrepresent.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean when I say that? Meaning that they, when they go on their first or second date, they try to be something they're not.
Oh, right, yeah.
To try to impress the person. And, you know, how do you get beyond that? I guess you would just have to continue to go on more and more dates, but the problem with that is you may really start liking the person.
Mm-hmm.
You may really fall for the person that they're trying to pretend like they are.
Yeah, I've heard sometimes that the women would say, well, like I have one client who's extremely wealthy with private plane and yacht and the whole staff and everything, and I guess he was kind of bragging about it, you know, too much,
mm-hmm.
and that really turned the lady off, because, yes, a woman likes a successful man, but we don't like to hear them bragging. And she says, oh, I don't, yeah, he could have been great, but I just didn't want to see him again. He was bragging so much. So I told him, I said, you're going to have to tone this down. You do have all these things, but it's just a turnoff, you know, so be more humble. And they says, oh, gosh, yes, thank you. You know, he appreciated that feedback, because guys sometimes will, even if they're so wealthy, they're nice looking, they'll get a little insecure and they'll think, oh, I've got to impress this girl and tell her everything I've got, or you know, the whole thing with the fancy car. The car thing is, there's a whole chapter in my next book about it's all about the car, because I never hear so much concern about people's cars as since I've been in this job. The women,
right?
Sometimes they'll say, oh, I can't date a guy if he doesn't have as nice of a car as I do, or the guy will say, I can't date a girl with a nicer car than I have, or like, who cares?
No, exactly.
That is, and what's so amazing to me is that is so superficial from the standpoint of, shouldn't it just be about transportation? If I can get to you and you can get to me, whatever takes
us
there.
I know.
That's what's important.
I was having lunch with one of my clients a few months ago, and I told him, I was real excited. I said, hey, I bought a new car. He says, well, what'd you get? I said, I got a Toyota Scion XA, little hatchback. So, you know, it was like tax and license, everything. It was, I think, $17,000, you know, so which I was thrilled. And he says, you know, Marla, that is so great for a girl. You know, that's fantastic. I could see you look real cute in that car. But he says, imagine me as a man here in Los Angeles driving that car. He says, no girl would go out with me. I can't do that. I have to have a BMW or a Mercedes or a Porsche. I said, yeah. And I said, isn't that the truth? Isn't that terrible?
Exactly. Exactly. Now, Marla and Tony, I'm going to try this again. I'm going to try to go to the phone.
Okay.
See if we can take a caller, because my screen froze up on me, but I've heard that this happens occasionally, so I'm not going to panic. Hello, caller. Are you on the line? Hello?
You might want to click on to another one if there's another one there.
That's what I'm doing.
It's freezing up again, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty much frozen. So, well, what I would like to tell all of our listeners out there, because I know you probably have a lot of questions and you're chomping at the bit, so send me an email note and I will make sure that Marla gets your questions and I'll get all your questions and concerns and comments answered. So, if I'm not able to get this board unfrozen, then we will just move right on and we'll make sure that
and people can go to my website, and they can go to my website, which is www.marlamartenson, which is MARTENSON.com. On there, I do have some dating tips on the website, and there's my email. So if anybody has a question, I'd be glad to answer.
Perfect, perfect, perfect. So, Marla, the type of dating service that you have, is it popular in other cities, or do you typically just see these types of dating services in larger cities like Los Angeles and Chicago?
Yeah, the company I work for, they also have one we have an office in Phoenix, Boca Raton, Florida, New York City we just opened, and then we are planning probably to go to Dallas next. So, and I do see in magazines where we advertise a lot of other matchmakers too. So it's really getting something to be popular.
Yeah.
People really love outsourcing their dating life, and it's just getting harder and harder to meet the right person when we're all so busy.
Well,
and,
it is. I mean, you don't want to go to bars, and like I said, the online dating scene is just not working out. So,
When you're younger, it's fun to go out and have drinks and stuff. When you get a certain age, it's just exhausting. After a whole long day at work, maybe you want to go to the gym. You've got things to do, and you think, my gosh, I don't want to hang out somewhere, you know, and try to mingle and schmooze and everything. It just gets.
I think we may have a caller on the line. Do we have a caller on the line with a question?
Caller, are you there?
Area code 502. No? Yes? Okay, let's just keep going. Keep rolling.
Well, while we're trying to get the caller, Marla, I know you talked about the upper scale and the upper range revenue-wise as far as your clientele and the company that you work for.
Right.
Do you see that same kind of matchmaking could happen? Because folks are still as busy in the middle income, middle to upper incomes. They're still just as busy, and they still have the same problems. Or do you just have to have a great deal of money to pay for the service?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, everybody's busy. It doesn't matter how much money you make. There are services that are a little less expensive, but all the services that I know of are at least, I think, it's probably about a couple thousand. So, yeah, it is. They, you know, they're not inexpensive. That's why the online can be great, but you've just got to be careful. People will put up old pictures. When I was dating, a guy even put up a model picture. It wasn't even him.
Mm-hmm.
So I was so disappointed when I met. But, yeah, people, you just have to be real careful. But my aunt is engaged to a wonderful man off of Match.com. They met a few years ago. And I just heard about another couple who got married from Match.com. So there are a lot of great people out there, and it can be a really great tool to use, and it's inexpensive.
Area code 631, are you on the line? Area code 631, you're on the air. Can you hear us? Do you have a question?
Yeah, we'll probably have to get with Blog Talk support and figure out what's going on with the sound card or what's happening.
Yeah, that's okay. No problem at all. Now, another question I want to ask you as far as the dating situation itself. A lot of the clients and friends and associates that I come in contact with, they tell me that some of the issues that they have with dating is that, like I said before, that, like I said previously, sometimes the person is not always honest about how they feel and what they're looking for and those types of things. And they will kind of go through the first, second, third date really starting to like the person. When should a woman agree to move to the next level and consent to having a sexual relationship with the person?
Well, I mean, that is, you know, such a personal decision, of course, but even in my book I have in the question and answer section in the back, and I say, you know, definitely don't, if you are looking for a long-term relationship, do not sleep with a guy on the first date, and I say even the second and third, because I've asked a lot of guys. Now, if you just want to go out and have fun and that's what you want to do, that's your choice. But if you're looking for a relationship, don't, because I've asked my husband, I've asked countless other male friends, and I've said, is it true that men will subscribe to the idea that if a woman sleeps with you on the first date, she's probably doing it with, you know, other anybody else too, the other dates? And they said, you know, yeah, that does. You know, sometimes they have gotten in a long-term relationship with somebody that they slept with early on, but a lot of times they'll think, geez, if she's
rare.
Doing it with me, is she doing that with everybody?
Absolutely.
Also, what happens when you do that is you kind of catapult yourself into ahead, into kind of relationship status, but you don't even know each other yet, so you kind of miss out on that courting, that something to look forward to, and then how do you go backwards from there? So it can be very uncomfortable, because here you've slept with somebody, but you're not exclusive, and you don't know, is he even going to call every day, or are you going to, it's just very, it can be hurtful, disappointing, confusing, so I would say just wait and see how things progress. Like my husband, I knew that the week that I met him, my friend told me he had called, there were two other ladies he was seeing casually, and he called them up, and he says, look, I can't see you anymore, I've met someone special. And I was so impressed. I said, oh, my gosh, I can't believe it. And she says, yeah. She says, look, he told her, if I'm going to date your friend and I want to be serious about it, then I can't be seeing other women as well. So I knew there that he was. So it's kind of watch the man's actions more than words, too, because a man will say anything to sleep with you. That's their goal. So they're going to tell you what you want to hear.
That's
so you want to get to know them and see their actions, not just the words.
And I believe, like I said previously, I believe that if they do try to misrepresent themselves and they tell you all of these things up front that are absolutely not true, time will tell.
Exactly, yeah.
I mean, you're talking about selecting someone as your soulmate for the rest of your life, so why not take the time and invest the time that it takes to find out if this is really the true one?
Yeah, take your time. And I tell the ladies, date like a guy, too. It doesn't, you know, if you meet someone on the first date, I've had girls call me up and say, oh, with somebody I matched him, oh, thanks, Marla, he's everything I'm looking for. Take me out of the system now. I'm happy. And I'm like, wait a minute.
Exactly.
Because I know he's not doing that. He's still seeing other people to see, you know, who's going to be a right match. I said, no, just keep dating, you know, and see what happens. You don't need to be going exclusive after the first date, unless it's, of course, just love at first sight and, you know, everything works out. But that's, like Tony was saying, that doesn't happen all the time.
It doesn't. It doesn't, and you're really gambling if you think that's
Yeah, and if you think, oh, I'm in love after a first date, it's like go to a psychologist because
right.
You really don't know that person. It lust at first sight, yes. Love at first sight, I don't know.
How does, in your business, and I know the matchmaker aspect, and it's we talked about folks' schedules
mm-hmm.
and them being busy and trying to get out of the norm and do something different. How about their securities, whether they're insecure or secure? Are your clients the kind of clients that are very secure in who they are and they just don't have the time? Or does your service help with that security aspect and take away some of the things that the insecurities would put in place?
Well, I mean, I get all sorts of people. Definitely everybody's pretty busy, but some of the girls will have real low self-esteem, and especially some of the real pretty ones. Just something that I've noticed is a common thread. When the girls are real drop-dead gorgeous, they've got some emotional and problems and low self-esteem. And then the girls that aren't as drop-dead gorgeous are real confident, you know, because they've had to develop other qualities. A lot of the girls that have just relied on their looks and that's all they're concerned about and they're looking for the next audition, the acting, they haven't developed some other qualities that are really important in life. And so that's what I actually talk about in my book, about self-esteem, about working on your spiritual side, on all sorts, you know, to become a whole person and not just worry about one part. So some people are here, they've got it all together, and some people are still struggling along, but it's a journey, and everybody's at a different level and pace in their life. Yeah, and some people are coming out of divorces and, you know, they're leery and, you know, they don't want the same thing to happen with the last relationship. And
right.
And I do try to encourage people to go into each new situation or relationship fresh. Don't put blame the new guy, you know, for the guy, maybe the last guy cheated on you, and you don't want to put that on this poor new guy that's sitting there. Just put all those negative things maybe that happened in the past aside and let each person show themselves and have a fresh start.
Exactly, because I tell my clients, if you go into a new relationship with all of your previous baggage,
mm-hmm.
any relationship that doesn't work out, you're going to have baggage as a result of it.
Right.
So if you go into your new relationship, unless you cleanse all of that previous baggage, you
yes.
are going to take it all and dump it on this new person, and he is
mm-hmm.
going to run for the hills once he
mm-hmm.
sees that.
Yeah, it doesn't give the new relationship a chance, and it's not fair to you or the other person. So
exactly.
Yeah.
Well,
and I also go ahead, Tony.
I was just gonna, you know, from a guy's standpoint,
yeah,
just like to look at it very simply, and it's very when you go into the relationship, we all take something from the past relationship with us, but the bottom line is we all have that baggage. Just like it's time to get new luggage every once in a while, it's time to get
mm-hmm.
rid of those old bags and get some new bags.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So just go ahead and put that old baggage away. There's
mm-hmm.
a couple of pieces that you may hold on to that make you feel a little bit more secure. That
mm-hmm.
zipper works a little bit better. The pockets
mm-hmm.
hold it a little bit more. And hold on to those kinds of things until you don't need them anymore. But
right.
if you go in with everything that you had, you're going to have the same result of everything that you did. So,
yeah.
Absolutely.
I like to just take the old whatever happened as experience and realize what's possible and what could happen and so that you don't make those same mistakes, but you don't bring it into the next person. You just kind of learn from life's lessons.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I have area code caller 502 on the line. Do you have a question? Area code 502, can you hear me? Okay. Not trying that anymore. Occasionally this happens. It's one of these little technical difficulties, little technical glitch. I apologize to all of our listeners. As I said, you will be able to get your questions answered by either emailing me or Marla. Marla gave out her website information earlier, and I'll make sure she gives that out again before we end the show. And, Marla, I'd like to ask you, why do you think it is, I mean, maybe some of the reasons we've already given, but why do you think women just settle even when they see the red stop signs?
Mm-hmm.
Even when they
know
the red signs are there,
I did it too.
Going?
Yep, I've done it too in the past. I knew I shouldn't have gotten married to my last husband when I in my 20s, and I did it anyway. I think people are lonely. Maybe their clock is ticking. Maybe a guy's real cute, you know. But the last one, I mean, he was so adorable. He was French with that cute accent. And I thought, oh, what am I doing?
Yes.
He was not for me, and he was not ready to be married. But we do. We'll just get in. And, I mean, I'll have girls tell me, well, he's not treating me the right. He's jealous. He's this. He's that. But they just hang in. Also, women can get very attached, that thing called oxytocin. Once we are intimate with a man, that is what attaches us. So that's why it's important not to sleep with a guy too soon, too, because
right.
even if he's the wrong guy, it's chemical, and we get attached. So, you know, we try to think like a guy and date like a guy, but it's really hard for a woman to do. So, yeah, it's a problem, and we've got to be aware and have some self-esteem and know. And people think, oh, this is the last guy I'm ever going to meet. I'm getting older. Who's going to want me? You know, he's at least wants to marry me. But we've got to raise our self-worth and know that there's always going to be somebody else, and we want to wait for the right one, not just anyone.
Now, Marlette, let me ask you this. One of the things that amazes me from the standpoint from a male perspective is the fact that men will meet women, and things may go a certain way, or they think they're going very well, and then all of a sudden a woman will say, well, I don't really like this that you did, or that you did. Well, it was okay at the very beginning, but it seems like somewhere someone decided, well, you know what, I'm going to try to change you a little bit.
Oh,
Do you run into that? And if so, what advice do you give your clients or give to our listeners?
I say that you cannot change a person. Don't even try. And who would want to be changed as well, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to find a partner that already has the qualities that you're looking for. Of course, there's going to be things that you're going to have to compromise on. I'm still trying to get my husband to put down the toilet seat after 7 years, and it's not going to happen. I even put it in the book, and I warned him. I said, if you don't start putting it down, everybody in America is going to know you don't put down the toilet seat. And he laughed, but he won't do it. So, you know, you've just got to be a little easygoing, and nobody's perfect. But if you think let's say you decide to date a smoker, and you don't. You know, you're thinking, well, I'll get him to quit, or you're a vegetarian and you think, well, I'll get him to do what I want or exercise, or I'll change him. The habits are very hard to change. You know, maybe he'd like to quit smoking. Smoking's very hard to quit, and maybe he'd say, yes, I will. It might not happen. So you know,
right.
You've got to realize that you probably won't change somebody, either accept the way they are or find somebody else who has the qualities that you want.
And once again, it probably falls into that realm of they're lonely.
Mm-hmm.
And they figure, okay, well, I could change this person because his habits, his bad habits aren't too bad, so
mm-hmm.
I can work with these and maybe get rid of them. But, you know, it's really a double-edged sword because you get involved with someone because you're lonely,
mm-hmm.
but then you end up in a worse, even more lonely situation when it doesn't work out.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
you saw
the red sign, so why not pay attention to them?
And you wouldn't want it if somebody, you know, was looking at you that way, thinking, well, she's pretty good, but if I could just change this, that, and that,
right.
she'll be great. So I'll get involved, and I'll start working on changing those things.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That is so true.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I know that's really, really, really one of the biggest issues that I see with so many people, because they do jump into things just out of habit, loneliness, they keep doing it the same way. I said earlier in our segment when we first started that if you continue to do it the same way, you're going to continue to get the same result.
Right, yeah.
So you've got
sometimes
to open yourself up.
What is it, Jan Levan Zandt, I love what she says, you just date, some women will date the same guy, no, they'll date the same guy, he's just wearing a different pair of pants.
Exactly.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah, we get attracted to the same type of thing until we change our thinking and realize our patterns.
Now, are you noticing, Marla, that you said something about women dating like men? Have you noticed that there's a trend that's starting to go that way? Because women now are in business and they have some of the same positions and things are changing in the workplace and all those kinds of things. Are we seeing that transition happen, or is it still pretty much the prince and princess kind of attitude?
Yeah, I think it's still pretty much the traditional attitude. And a lot of women will tell me, the professional women that are doing well financially, real intelligent, they'll say, you know, Marla, men are intimidated by my success. They're intimidated by a successful woman. And I've talked to men, and they said, look, we're not intimidated by her success or the money she makes. That's great that they make great money. But what happens is the same techniques and the same personality traits they have to use in the office to climb the ladder, to be, you know, to work with all the men in the office and to be tough, they sometimes take that into the date. And you have to switch gears as a woman and let the man take the lead on the date and be a little more soft and feminine, wear something a little more soft and feminine. A lot of men will tell me, wow, you know, they went on a date with a woman, and I'll say, well, were you attracted to her? Did you like her? And they say, I don't know. She wore something so conservative or so baggy, I couldn't even see her figure. And men are visual, and they want to know. So I always tell women, wear something not vulgar. You don't want your cleavage spilling all out, or a miniskirt, but you want to at least wear something that shows your figure, something feminine, so that the man wants to see that. Yeah, and then not too much perfume either. You don't know what kind of perfume the man likes, and you don't want to have him sitting there with a headache thinking, oh, I just got to get away. So something very light. Until you know his taste. I was wearing the same perfume for 20 years when I met my husband. I loved this perfume. People would stop me in the street and say, what are you wearing? It's so wonderful. And when I met him, then he told me I hate it. He said he hated it. So I have never been able to wear that. I had to get a different one.
But, okay, now, guys, I'm going to try this one last time. I have area code 502 on the air. Do you have a question, caller? Area code 502.
Going once?
I know. Going twice? Done. Okay.
Yeah, there seems to be somewhat of a problem with the switchboard today. So.
Yeah. We've got the chat room open, and I'm thinking it's just a problem all around because there are quite a few people in the chat room that can't hear either, so.
Well, you guys have been asking some great questions, so I'm sure that we're probably answering most of the callers' questions.
Well, I think so.
I think we probably are. I just want to make sure. And, Marla, go ahead in our last 3 minutes. I want you to go ahead because I want to make sure you get your website information in for our callers.
Yep, my website is www.marlamartinson.com, and it's MarlaMartinson.com. And I have some fun things on there, so dating tips and my email and some video and a whole bunch of fun stuff to check out.
That's great. And you can also email me at Kathy@chholloway.com, and I'll make sure that Marla gets your questions and comments and everything. And I am so sorry for this technical difficulty. But just in our last few minutes here, Tony, I want to make sure you get everything from a male perspective, because I know there are a lot of things that you understand on your dating side that I want to make sure our male callers get their questions answered as well.
Well, and I was asking some of the questions, of course, in an hour show, and I'm hoping, Marla, that you'll feel free to come back sometime and talk to us, because the truth of the matter is it's just not enough time on this subject. It's so much more to talk about, but I just want to say I appreciate you answering some of the questions, because the bottom line for me as a man is those differences. Sometimes a man wants a woman who is able to kind of sit back and let him lead, and sometimes a man wants to sit back and say, hey, baby, you do it yourself. You know, that kind of thing, and feel good about that. I mean, and you have to have the right person for that. So that's what this search is all about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that gets into, once you're in a relationship too, you need to, or dating, sometimes the ladies will expect the man to take her out all the time. And I tell the ladies, reciprocate. If the man's been whining and dining you, you know, make him dinner once in a while, or treat him to lunch, or do something nice. And the men appreciate it so much, because it, you know, it is always, everything has been on the man. And it's not easy for the guys to always have to approach the lady and then plan the date and then wine her and dine her. So we do want to make it a little easier for the men out there.
Thank you for that, because you're absolutely right. It's good to be taken out every once in a while.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is true. Well, Marla, I'm going to thank you so much. We're going to be coming up here on our last 30 seconds, but thank you for all your information, and as Tony stated, I would love to have you back again, because I really do want to give our callers an opportunity to talk to you live, and, you know, it is a it's a much better opportunity to talk live on the air, and you
right.
know, some of them may be a little shy about sending their email notes. So we're going to invite you back, and I really appreciate you again. I know I've said that a couple times, but thank you for taking your time. I know you're on Pacific time, so it's a little bit early out there in California. So
yep, it's 4 o'clock here, almost 4, yep. Well, you are so welcome. I just absolutely loved it. You two are wonderful, and I would love to come back.
All right,
well,
thank you
so much. And, Tony, thanks to you a lot, and we're going to see you guys here same time next week. Wednesday, hump day at 6 p.m. I'm Kathy Holloway Hill.
And I'm Tony Lamont.
And we'll see you next week. Good night.